What a comforting song.
To be able to start off this morning with. It's also comforting to know that the Lord knows that we're here this morning, and it's comforting for me to know that the Lord has promised to help me at this hour. Written on the board, Open House, Part 2. Have you ever given much thought to your identity? You ever thought about how your identity would be defined? Like if it were to be defined in one sentence, two at most, maybe just one sentence, maybe just a few words, how would your life be defined? You ever thought about it? You know, when you think about Abraham, maybe we'll back up. What does it mean? What does your identity mean? Identity is, it's a characteristic or a personality trait, a distinguishing characteristic or a personality trait that defines you in your own eyes, the eyes of other people. And you know that God knows us too. And when you read the word of the Lord, we find that Abraham was called the father of faith. He was a friend of God. You could say a lot of things about Abraham, but that was a defining characteristic of Abraham. He was a man of faith way back before Jesus ever came. David was called the man after God's own heart. The centurion, Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith in all Israel. Thomas has been called Doubting Thomas. And that's gone with him. He was a disciple. Didn't say he wasn't saved. Didn't say he was a bad person that was away from God. He just said, is Doubting Thomas. A distinguishing characteristic. The Pharisees, the Lord said, you are, on the outside you're as white as sepulchres, but inside you're as dead men's bones. I don't want that to be my defining characteristic. Do you? Have you ever thought about what yours might be? How do you think about yourself? I'm sure sometimes we think about what do other people think about us. Most important is what is our identity before God. And I guess today and last week, I'm thinking also about those weak places in our lives. Those places where maybe we don't like the way we are in some areas of our life. Maybe they are spiritual gaps. And when I think about myself, it's hard for me to think about summing it up in three words because I can think of a lot of things where I need help. But you know, it's good to think about it. I think that sometimes we, as people, overcomplicate the plan of salvation. That's right. I think sometimes we overcomplicate it. The Lord never intended for the plan of salvation to be complicated. Repent and be converted. Believe on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And sometimes we so overcomplicate it. And then on the other hand, we can miss some of the very basic fundamentals that is required to find peace with Jesus. And one of those fundamentals is just being open before God on who we are and what we are. Just being open. It's not complicated. Sometimes we overcomplicate other things and neglect the things that really maybe shouldn't be that difficult. Last Sunday was inspired with the message of being an open house. It felt like I tried to lay a foundation of the need of us to be completely open with Jesus. And it's a topic that has been preached here numerous times over the last several years in different ways, being open before God, because I feel like it's so very important for us to make progress. We have to begin to recognize who we are and be willing to be an open book before Jesus Christ. And not only do we have great need with Jesus, but what a privilege it is that Jesus is willing to come into our house and to help us in all of the needs of our life, that we have a Father that is the Creator, that is able to do all things and that loves us and that paid a price that we can't pay and recognizes that I'm not going to be able to earn my way into heaven. And He looks down and He sees that we are just human. We were created from the dust, and He's so divine, and yet He comes and in His divine nature He looks on our humanity with love and compassion and is moved on His throne to want to do good things for us in our weaknesses and in our time of trouble and in our sins and in our failures and when we fall down. Perhaps repeatedly we fall down. There is our Lord there with comfort and with encouragement saying, "My child, get up. Let me continue to help you. Let me help teach you." And He doesn't want us to run away from Him. He doesn't want us to shy away. He doesn't want us to close ourselves up and not allow Him into our lives, because He is there to help us. We reflected some last Sunday about what it would be like if we sold our house, our literal house, or rather buy a house, let's say, only to find that the previous owner had locked some of the doors in the house, made it almost impossible for us to get in. We would think, "What? I just bought the house. I thought this was my house." And yet the previous owner is still trying to hold on and close doors. And we would think, "Well, that's not right." And I wonder if sometimes we do that with Jesus. He made the ultimate sacrifice for your life. He paid for our lives. He wants us to be an open house with Him. He is a God that has come to give us mercy and offer us help. As we talked last Sunday, as we are in a world in the midst of life-threatening products, processes, and influences that would do us harm. And yet Jesus came to give us life. And He paid for it. And we don't want to close our house off. We don't want to close rooms up and lock them and not allow the Lord into every area of our lives. The Lord doesn't want us to fear Him. He wants us to recognize He is not a regulatory enforcement officer with the government that has come to find what is all wrong in our lives so that He can punish and fine us. He's not a regulatory enforcement officer. Jesus is the Son of God who gave His life that we might be saved. And last Sunday we read out of the 19th chapter of Luke. We read about the story of Zacchaeus and identified three areas for further consideration. One being that Zacchaeus did not allow physical, spiritual, situational circumstances to hinder him from seeking Jesus. And number two, he made haste to open up his house and take advantage of Jesus' offer to come into his house. And thirdly, Zacchaeus made haste to take action, to close the spiritual gap that he recognized he had. And when he did those three things, we read that salvation came to his house. Zacchaeus was a very happy man. I'd like to now consider the first four verses in more detail, having laid a foundation last Sunday. If you have time and you weren't here, maybe it would be helpful to listen to that message. It said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Did you get what that said? Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. He entered and it said He passed through Jericho. This was Jericho's opportunity. This was Jericho's opportunity to make contact with Jesus. Jesus made the decision to pass through a place where there were people that had needs in their life. And it said that He passed through, which to me speaks of entering and then at some point moving on. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to take advantage of the times when Jesus passes by my way. I want to make contact with Jesus so that wherever then He goes, I can follow. I don't want to be left in Jericho. If the Lord passes through Jericho and I was in need of help, I don't want to be still in need of help without Jesus when He passes and moves on through Jericho. Conviction is our friend. Conviction is a blessing. The Word of the Lord, when He comes to us and He speaks to our hearts and He puts His finger on something in our lives, what a blessing that is. When Jesus passes by. Have you ever been in a service before when the conviction was... many of us were at Monarch. Have you ever been in a service when it felt like that the Spirit of the Lord came down and you felt conviction and you felt the Lord moving in your heart and maybe the Lord touched on an area in your life and... Have you ever resisted that and let it go on and pass by your way? And then maybe some days pass and you look back and you start to think about whatever that thing was that the Lord spoke to you about and you found that it didn't seem to be that big of a deal anymore. Yeah, it's there. Probably need to... Maybe there's some room for improvement in that area, but, you know, maybe it's not so bad as I thought it was, and I just don't feel like I did before. Maybe everything's okay. That's dangerous. That's a dangerous place to be. That should be a sobering place. Those times when Jesus passes by our way, and He makes Himself available, not pushing Himself on us, not forcing Himself into our lives. But He passes by our way in love. And He puts His finger on something in our lives, or He speaks to us. And we let Him pass by, along with the conviction. I don't I don't want to do that. I want to take advantage of when Jesus passes by. Said, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. This began to speak to Zacchaeus' identity in this case. This, the writer, Luke, this isn't in red letters. This, my Bible has this in black letters, which to me means must have been Luke was the one that wrote this. Maybe Jesus talked to him before or after about it. I don't know. But in Luke's mind, this was important. This began to sum up the identity of Zacchaeus in the place where he needed help. You following with me this morning? Behold, there was a person named, and put your name in there, and Jesus passed through Laranger. And behold, there was a person named, insert your name, and they were, and in one sentence, identified a place where we had much need. Just boiled it right down to where we live. Don't need a lot of explanation. It was like the angel at the church of Laodicea said, behold, you're not cold and you're not hot, you're lukewarm, and you said this, and I know your works, and that's it. Identified who they were. Their identity. There doesn't need to be a lot more said. And I'm challenged by this for myself. The Lord passed by Laranger, and there was a man named Rod, and he was A, B, C. It seemed like Zacchaeus maybe had a reputation that he thought he needed to protect. These were some areas that defined him. He said he was chief. Said he was rich. We find out later how he got rich. It wasn't maybe in a very good way that he got rich. And yet Zacchaeus had this persona that he was rich and he was chief. And when he went out, he knew he was looked at in a certain manner. Some good, some not so good. And that's who he was. But it said that he sought to see Jesus. And I think about ourselves today. Aren't there areas in your own life that seem like maybe a weight that you're carrying around? And you think about yourself and your identity and those places that could be a hindrance to you. And it seems like sometimes that we want to see Jesus, but then there's that. But I'm Zacchaeus. I'm chief and I'm rich, but the way that I got rich and the way that I got to be chief, I'm not really proud about that, but I'd like to see Jesus. And you know, sometimes the things that we face in life, some of those mountains in our lives that we face, it seems like they're not convenient or easy to resolve, to be able to get to the place where we just feel clear. Sometimes we're afraid to come before Jesus because we know there's that thing. But sometimes we feel like defines us. And the enemy of our soul uses spiritual and situational circumstances to try to keep us from seeking Jesus. He uses those things to try to keep us from being able to find peace in our hearts with the Lord. And those things always seem to come up. And so what we do sometimes is is we close off rooms in our house, if you will. Sometimes we block things out. You know, you hear about people that have been through some difficult things in life, and people that are in the know say that sometimes a coping mechanism is to just block it out. That's their coping mechanism. Just almost try to act like it's not there. And sometimes I wonder if spiritually speaking, there's things about ourselves that we don't like and we're not comfortable with, and there are weaknesses, but we don't know how to get through it, and it seems like it's set in stone. It seems like it's one of those things that even if I wanted to get around it, I can't get around it, and yet it weighs on our minds, and so that sometimes then what we do is we put a lock on the door and we block it out. But we want to see Jesus, and so we have an open house, and we want to have an open house for Jesus with most of our house. With most of our house. And so Jesus comes by our way, and sometimes we can live for years maybe wanting to be transparent. People talk about being transparent with Jesus and being transparent with other people. And you know what? That's really easy to say until all of a sudden it starts getting close. Until it starts getting right down where we live. And then we find all of these reasons why we're going to take the tour route through our house and avoid that room that we would rather not go into. That is the very room Jesus came to help us with. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. The Lord wants to help you in those areas of your life that maybe you're not proud of. The enemy says, well, now you've been a Christian a long time. You've been saved a long time. If you acknowledge that you have this place that, you know, has got this real need and you're not sure how to deal with, and it might represent great change in your life, it might mean that you have to climb a tree and people look at you like, what are you doing up there? You following what I'm saying? And so we say, well, I don't want to do that. And so we continue to try to build in this area of our life that has a foundation of sand. We keep trying to shore it up. But the foundation's on sand. And we try to cover it up. And we try to block it. And we try to somehow hold that area of our life together. And Jesus is saying, if you'll let me in, we might just need to rebuild that room. And it's okay if people pass by and see a sign out front that says, under construction. It's okay if they go by and say that you've applied for a permit. What do they need a permit for? I didn't know they had it. They didn't know they were doing anything in their house. I thought everything was good with their house. And we can worry about what other people think, and we can worry about everything except the most important thing, which is we need Jesus to have full access to our life. And even though Zacchaeus was chief and it said he was rich, he was willing to see Jesus. And it said that he sought to see who he was, but he couldn't, because there was this press that was between him and the Lord. And there was this life situation that seemed like was bigger than he was, that he wasn't going to be able to see Jesus, but yet he didn't allow that to stop him. So it said that he went and he climbed a tree. He ran before. And it said he climbed up in a tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. This was the start of something wonderful that happened in Zacchaeus' life. And I believe that for us to be able to get to the Lord and have Him help us in those places of life that may seem to nag us day after day, month after month, year after year. Maybe we are mature Christians, but there is that place. Maybe nobody else knows. But it is part of our identity that we know, and God knows, and we don't know how to deal with it. And we look at it and we say, I'd like to see Jesus, but it seems like there is such a press between me and the Lord. And so we lock the room up. Folks, don't lock the room up. That is your room to own. Don't let the enemy have ownership of that room. Don't let him be the one that gets to dictate the degree of your openness before Jesus. The Lord is the one that is able to do things that we can't even comprehend. He says in the 41st chapter of Isaiah, I will open rivers in high places. I can create rivers where rivers just simply don't exist. Rivers happen in the low places where the waters trickle in and pretty soon they're creeks and then they become bigger and pretty soon you have a river. But you don't find a big gushing river at the top of the mountain. But the Lord said, I can open a river in high places. I can bring about fountains in the midst of the valleys. I can make in the wilderness pools of water where you don't expect water to be. Things that defy the laws of nature and are outside of your ability to find a solution, Jesus Christ can do it. And in fact, a couple chapters later, in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, it said, I will do a new thing and it will spring forth. The Lord can do something for us that we just simply don't consider. And Zacchaeus, it seemed like, got to this place that maybe in his desperation for soul peace, it said he sought Jesus. And so he ran. He said, I'm going to climb a tree. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And it said that Jesus passed by his way. And did you know that that is what Jesus is still doing today? Jesus looks with love on the city of LaRonger and Amite and Hammond and Covington and Independence, and he passes by our way, passes by your house, and he knocks, and he says, I'm here to help, and he wants us to be willing to open the door. He wants us to be willing to do whatever it takes to let him in to our house, whatever it takes. You may have to run. You may have to climb a tree. And again, get the analogy of that. Maybe you have to actually climb a tree. Maybe that's what you need to do to get up and get out of your normal circumstance and get a hold of Jesus. Climb a tree. But sometimes it means being willing to humble yourself in the eyes of other people, that you can see Jesus, because that's what Zacchaeus had to do. He was rich, he was chief, but what in the world is he doing up in that tree? Didn't look like that's what he ought to be doing. Sometimes you might have to go in through the roof. You remember the lame man that came to see Jesus? And there was a press at the door. The easy way in to see Jesus was blocked. But he wanted to see him so bad that he went in through the roof. Be encouraged this morning to do whatever it takes. To be willing to be open before Jesus in every area of your life, whatever it is. Be willing to be vulnerable before Jesus. Sometimes we have to back up and start over. Maybe there's a place in our life that we just simply need to ask the Lord to help us find rock. If the Lord touches your heart and leads you that way, be willing to back up and dig until you hit rock. You know that the Lord already knows. He already knows all about you. There isn't anything he doesn't is not already aware of. And the Lord is not coming by our way, as I mentioned at the beginning, as a regulatory enforcement officer to impose punitive fines in your life. The Lord is coming by to help you. And he doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't want us to hold back. And we don't have to have the solution when we come to Jesus. I've run into that in life, working with people. Sometimes it feels like people get in their minds that before they can come get what they need from Jesus, they first have to make themselves right in all areas of life. That's a trick of the enemy. I can't make all areas right in my life by myself. The Lord says, just come as you are. Just as you are. Be open. Open every room in your house. Just come tell me. Open up your heart. Show me those places that you feel like are impossible to change in your life. Just come talk to me about what you think make it impossible for you to be saved. The make it impossible, maybe you feel like you're saved, but you feel like that you're of those people that you're saved, but you're never going to be able to have the joy of the Lord in your heart because of X, Y, and Z. Did you know I think that affects a lot of people? A lot of people that believe they're saved, but they believe and they feel like, but I'm going to have to live my life without the joy of the Lord. I'm never going to be able to have full peace. I'm never going to be able to just rest. I'm going to just have to hear about that in church. I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. The Lord's had mercy on me. Come to the Lord and tell Him about that. Lord, I don't feel like I can ever have joy and peace with You, Lord, because of this. And tell Him. You don't have to have the solution before you come. He just says, come. Seek me while I may be found. When He passes by your way, that's the time to open the door and say, Lord, here am I. Come in. I trust these thoughts this morning will be an encouragement and a challenge to you as we make this journey as human beings, that we would open ourselves up to the One that is divine, and that we would, with courage and expectation, know that Jesus wants to help us in every area of our life if we're willing. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.